It's Monday again, which means it's time for another episode of the 51 Yard Line. This is episode 30, guys. We're 30 today.
Whee-hoo!
You know what that means? We get hungover after three drinks. Can't eat fast food anymore.
This is true.
Cry ourselves to sleep at night because we're out of our 20s.
Yeah,
and
man.
And generally just live more depressing lives.
This is the beginning of the end.
Well, God. Man, I wouldn't go that far, but... All right. Why not? So, as always, I'm one of your hosts, Tyler Berry. To my left, the incorrigible Andrew Willers.
Summer's over. The Twins are relevant. And football's almost here. I am super friggin' excited right now, guys.
And to my other left, the man, the myth, the legend, Stephen A. Cravens.
The 49ers are going to suck. Far less sunny on this side of the bench.
You also sound like you're Kanye West and Through the Wire because you're chewing on that fucking toothpick thing right now.
Yeah, well, I'm nervous about the upcoming season, so I need a pacifier.
Well, today we're just going to skip all the normal rigmarole and get right into our AFC North and NFC North previews because we got a lot to get through before the season starts. So why don't we just go ahead and kick it off with the AFC North, Drew?
Let's do it. Yeah, AFC North, not AFC and NFC Central. I apologize to our listeners 2 weeks ago for that debacle that was the end of our episode. Right off the bat, I've got the AFC North finishing as such. I've got Pittsburgh Steelers taking home the AFC North crown. I've got the Baltimore Ravens in second. I've got the Cincinnati Bengals in third. And I've got the Cleveland Browns bringing up the rear.
Sure.
I found this division outside of what I believe is... I would consider Pittsburgh to be the absolute favorite. I really couldn't decide where to put the next three guys. The next three teams, I should say. Because every time I tried to make a decision, I would be able to talk myself out of it because so many of these teams have just maddening inconsistencies. Like, Pittsburgh is the only team to me that seems to be well oiled on both sides of the ball. Sure, the defense was a little bit laxing last season. I think Mike Tomlin's going to turn that around. I'm not super worried about it. You know, Big Ben looked excellent in some games last year.
Mm-hmm.
He looked mediocre in others, but once they really hit their stride with Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, in my opinion, is definitely now in the conversation for being best wide receiver in the NFL. I love that dude. Absolutely love that dude. There's a great Sports Illustrated article on him. I think it was 2 issues ago, so if you get Sports Illustrated or you want to read some really, really good shit about a really, really good, hardworking athlete out of Pittsburgh, I would definitely suggest you guys hit that up. But outside of that, I mean, I wanted to put Cincinnati second, but then Andy Dalton turns me off, so then I put Baltimore in second, but I had trouble with that because... You know, Joe Flacco has some inconsistencies. I'm not so sure their defense is going to be as good as it usually is. Yes, you still have your leader in Terrell Suggs. Outside of that, though, you lost Haloti Ngata to the Detroit Lions. We'll get into that a little bit later in this episode. But, honestly, Cleveland's got an excellent defense, but they have no firepower on offense. So, outside of Pittsburgh being the absolute number one, I really had a hard time seeing where any of the other clubs were going to finish.
Steve?
The Pittsburgh Steelers are actually my favorite to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC. Because I agree with everything you just said. They're well-oiled on both sides of the ball. And Mike Tomlin's one of my favorite coaches in the
absolutely.
NFL.
I loved him when he was the defensive coordinator for the Vikings.
I mean, not only for his, you know, obviously winning a Super Bowl, going to 2 Super Bowls, having, you know, a great record as a head coach. All that aside, I like his no-nonsense approach to it. Because I like to watch, you know, interviews with all the coaches and see what they are when it comes down to football, and if they goof off a little bit, what they are as people, how are they when you take the weight off their shoulders of pressure of the game, and like, you know, what are the personalities like? And I just like Mike Tomlin all around, because even though he's not, you know, Rex Ryan, you know, with the media, but he's I like the no nonsense approach, and I think this year is going to be a deep playoff push. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they won't go to the Super Bowl, but they definitely will go up in the AFC Championship game against the Colts. I think so. So with that said, obviously they're going to take number one. I don't think actually that anybody else in the AFC North is going to make the playoffs.
Interesting.
I don't think Baltimore.
You mean outside of Pittsburgh?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah, no, outside of Pittsburgh, I don't think anybody in the AFC North is going to make the playoffs.
That's interesting, considering three of the four made it last year.
Yeah, well, I just – here's what I think. I think the Bengals are – people are saying that this is Marvin Lewis's final shot to not only make – you know, he's made it to the playoffs before, obviously, but he's lost every single time. This is his final shot to win, and not only win, but get to the AFC Championship game, hopefully get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They have the talent required. I'm just not convinced in Marvin Lewis as coach. I'm not, man. I mean, like, you haven't won a single playoff game, man. And the teams that, let's say they were to have a winning record and go into the playoffs, who are some of the other teams that we were picking to go to the playoffs? You got the Steelers. We're picking the Dolphins, right? We're picking the Dolphins of the AFC. You got the Colts loaded up on firepower. You got the Pats. I'm not going to say the Bills. Denver. Possibly the Chiefs. I mean, there are a lot of stacked teams out there. That
a lot of teams, aside from, I would probably say, the Colts, that have pretty respectable defenses. And you already know how Andy Dalton performs in big-time games. He's thrown literally zero touchdowns in his four postseason games. Like,
it's unreal.
He's not the quarterback to get it done for the Bengals in the postseason. There's no doubt about it at this point.
It's unreal. I mean, aside from that Monday Night Football game against Denver, the last one last year where they won based off interceptions, really, I mean, they disappear in big moments. They certainly did last year, so I'm not expecting them to get to the playoffs at all this year. I think they'll finish 8-8, or maybe even 9-7. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
picking the Ravens to finish after them, by the way. I'm picking the Ravens to go 8-8 or 7-9 possibly. I think they've lost a lot of pieces. Like John Harbaugh said, sometimes you just got to take it on the chin. Like their cap space was like next to zero. They had to get rid of guys to free up some cash. Haloti Ngata is gone. Torrey Smith is gone. That's just one less target for Joe Flacco.
And Flacco can't throw to Dennis Pitta every single play. Owen Daniels. Although I'm hearing really, really good things about Max Williams, who was a former tight end out of the University of Minnesota. Go for Sky Uma. Outside of that,
and Brashad Perryman from UCF, he shouldn't be looked over to. He is a great explosive wide receiver.
And they still got Justin Forsett. And Forsett was really, really good for him down the stretch.
Hasn't had the greatest preseason, but.
Yeah.
Again, it's pretty
cool. Well, we'll say this about Joe Flacco. There's always January Joe, but in order for January Joe to show up, you have to win in the regular season.
You got to work your way through September, October, November, and December to get to that. So.
And what were they last? Last year they were 8-8, right? And
something like
2014,
that.
They were 8-8, and so was Pittsburgh. And then they came back and both made the playoffs. But I don't think the Ravens are cutting it this year.
Yeah.
And forget the Browns. Browns going now. I'm sorry.
Which is a shame because I love their defense.
Their defense is great, but their defense
the Browns?
Can't score.
Mm-hmm.
Can't win them games.
Look at the division
game.
They're in, man. I
oh, no.
Yeah, you're going to need some offense in that division, man.
And they don't have it. They don't.
They have nothing.
Nothing. I was looking at it, and I was just like, not him. Yeah. There's regardless of who's going to end up. I do believe, and we'll get into this in like just a minute here when we go through our busts and our sleepers. I believe Johnny Football will eventually be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. That being said, I don't think there should be any expectations of McCown or Manziel given their targets, because they are throwing to a big pile of really second stringers, third stringers, guys that would be bottom of the depth chart on other clubs. So that's
We're talking about how integral to the offense Isaiah Crowell is, that's when you know things are not
absolutely
good.
Or if your number one receiver is Dwayne Bowe,
Dwayne Bowe doesn't even remember how to catch touchdowns after being in Kansas City last year.
And then Andrew Hawkins and Brian Hartline, those guys are slot receivers on, like, they maybe are three or four wide receivers, three and four wide receivers on other clubs. So
yeah, forget the Browns. I had the same as you did, Drew. Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, Browns. My only worry with the Steelers, well, I shouldn't say it's a worry because I still think they're going to win the division, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer than people think for the simple fact that you lose your number two wide receiver for four games, Martavis Bryant. He just got his suspension, like, that's completely set in stone now. I don't think he can appeal at this point, right?
No.
Yep.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, and you have Le'Veon Bell out for two games. I mean, I would consider that you could potentially chalk those, like, at least one of those first two games up to a loss. And
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, let's hope, man. I play him week two, man.
I know. Not the one that I was talking about.
It's gonna be great. No, but I
talking about the Patriots. But,
no, well, yeah, I mean.
But I wouldn't count. I wouldn't necessarily count. I wouldn't say that game against the 49ers is a gimme without one
so
of
either.
Your best wide receivers
and now, running back.
Because all you have to do now is really key in on Antonio Brown, and it just makes your life a whole lot easier knowing that Roethlisberger doesn't have his second favorite target to go to.
Or his center protecting him.
Yeah.
That's
a good
point.
They're still going to win the division. I just think it's going to be a little bit closer than I think people are
at first, anyway, right? Like you're saying, like once Brian and...
I mean, I'm thinking it's
like...
It'll
be tight out of the gates down the stretch they pull away.
I'm thinking it's going to be like Steelers are 10-6 and Ravens are 8-8.
8-8.
Like it's going to be closer than... Like it's not going to be... I mean, they could lose any number of those first four games, man. Like, let's say they go 1-3, which probably isn't likely, but it could be if they lose the first two without both Bryant and Bell.
Oh, that'd be great.
In the early going, I just don't think it's gonna be like it's not gonna be far and away the Steelers' division. That's for sure.
For our listeners, we go to Champs every Sunday in Burbank, and it's a Steelers bar.
It is.
And I will be there that morning when the Niners play the Steelers.
And I will be by your side, probably with some kind of blunt object in case you get...
I am the blunt object.
Steve Cravens, the blunt object.
That's me. No, but no,
don't get us murdered.
No, you guys can run.
I certainly can.
I'll stay. Maybe like if I get killed, they'll like make a little plaque for me in Levi's Stadium.
I was gonna say though, the staff loves you there, so
they do love me.
It's not about the staff; it's about the 60 to 70 drunk Steelers fans that will be there.
Yeah, but I'm saying staff will protect him.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they're a bunch of bitches.
Wow.
Literally and figuratively. No, but
shots fired at her favorite bar. I love it.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, nuclear bomb. Anyway, but...
Hopefully none of them listen to this.
No, they probably don't. They got better things to do. But, yeah.
So does everyone else. So
shots fired at her own show.
Yep. I fire shots at her own show all the time.
That's good stuff, man.
Nuclear waste.
It's the best show ever.
Yeah, 10-6. Wow.
We need to humble ourselves.
No, I mean, you make very good points to say that, though. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just those first four games are going to be tougher than the Steelers' offense should be making themselves. And that's all... The only people at fault are obviously Martavis and Le'Veon. But.
Absolutely.
And there's actually a game that can actually back up that statement 100% without any like, oh, well, you don't know for sure. They're just human beings. But the playoff game against the Ravens where they didn't have Bell... And they had to, you know, rely strictly on the aerial attack. Yeah.
See, that's the thing is...
When you can key in on Antonio Brown, that's the only problem. Like, when you can stack two defenders against him the majority of the time, that... It's not to say he's still not going to catch his balls because he's amazing. He is. But it's just going to make it a little bit easier on your defense knowing that he's the guy you always have to be keyed in on during a game.
Is Heath Miller still their tight end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
he's been on the downslide.
No, I completely agree. I was just asking.
I drafted him last year. Yeah. I would know.
No, I was just asking because I was trying to think of other targets that he has. No, that's very true. Martavis Bryant losing him off the bat. I definitely agree.
Especially when people
didn't really account for that hurting as much as I think you're right, Heather, but I think that'll end up hurting them a little bit more. I just think the big thing with me, aside from their leader in general and their head coach, who I believe is going to have that defense super, super prepared and ready to go. And you can say what you want about Ben Roethlisberger as a person, human being, off the field. I know that he has a past. I think he, to my knowledge, has acknowledged that he was not a great leader at the beginning of his career,
that he
ruffled many feathers. I think that he is the undisputed leader now in that locker room, and I think he'll get his offense ready to go. Regardless of losing Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant, I'm not too worried about it. But I think 10-6 is fair. And I think 10-6 will keep them in a position where you, Steve, will be correct in that they'll, at 10-6, win the division, get into the playoffs, may have to play the wild card weekend depending on how things shake out. But I think down the stretch there, getting everybody together, rattling off wins, because... I would be shocked if they don't take at least two games from Cincinnati and both games from Cleveland. They may split with Baltimore just because that game always ends up being tough. But for the most part, I think they'll.
Oh yeah, they're not gonna have any trouble in that division.
Like even if they don't, like even if they didn't have, I don't know how their schedule shakes out, but even if they don't have Bryant, when they play both those clubs, Cincinnati and Cleveland, I still think they'd beat them. I think they'd beat them.
And actually, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Their playoff push depends on where they're playing. It doesn't necessarily have to be at home, but it needs to be in either a cold weather climate or it needs to be in a dome.
That's the other thing, is I just think they can go anywhere and whoop that ass.
They're not good in humid weather. Most North teams aren't, though.
No, but I'm saying down the stretch, I don't think you're going to have to deal with, even late in the year, I don't think you're dealing with a lot of humidity.
If they have to play the Dolphins in Miami,
it's going to be terrible. Pretty bad in
it's
December.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
that's like I've seen it 1,000 times. Whether they play in Tampa Bay, whether they play in Miami, Jacksonville, like wherever they play, when North teams come down there, games they should put away end up being really tough, just because it's just harder to breathe down there, man. You're breathing like the humidity is so thick down there.
New England has had problems.
Well, yeah, they don't have to worry about that because they're not playing Miami.
Oh yeah, I think you started about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
No, I was talking about a playoff push. If they have to play in a humid climate. Not just strictly them. If Green Bay has to do it, or the Pats have to do it, whoever has to play in a like if they're a northern team and they have to play in humidity, in the heat, it's a whole different ball game. Especially when you're used to playing like New England's used to playing in Foxborough, and
for sure,
you know, Denver's used to playing in Mile High, and Pittsburgh and Heinz. It just adds another dimension to it, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're dead right.
Pittsburgh won't have Martavis for the first Ravens game on the 1st of October.
Yeah, I still think they win. I'm not feeling it with Baltimore.
No, and I think it would also make sense. I think Harbaugh knows it's time for a little bit of turnover. I think it's time to maybe slow down a season, see where you slide into the draft, and start the rebuilding process, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's like what I'm saying. It's like sometimes these seasons happen where you're literally sure. There's nothing you can do. You just got to take it on the chin and move on.
Absolutely.
And that's one of those seasons. We're in one of those seasons.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And actually hearing it from Harbaugh, like say, it's like it's just nature of the game.
Exactly.
You just got to take it and move on. It's not just you. There's a lot of teams that have to do it over the course of history.
So
the Ravens are one of those teams.
It's what makes the NFL great, in my opinion, though. That the turnover can be that swift.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. Anyway.
Who's your bust?
My bust is Justin Gilbert, the former number 8 overall pick for the Cleveland Browns. You could make the argument that he is already a bust. I feel a lot differently about defensive backs making the jump from the collegiate level to the NFL level. I think it, out of any position in football, it is the biggest gap as far as being a completely different game. Playing defensive back at the collegiate level, I don't watch a lot of college football, but I know you can be far more physical with receivers down the field. You can be a little bit more handsy and grabby. You can't touch wide receivers at all at the NFL level. At all. Beyond 5 yards, you can't do it. They won't allow it. And Gilbert already struggled really hard last season. This offseason, from what I've seen and what I've read, has not been that much better. And now he's got a hip flexor injury. I think he's on a really, really good defense. The guy who plays across from him, Hayden, is a beast. But, I think my bust is going to be Justin Gilbert. I don't think he's going to perform all that well. I think that he's definitely lost. I think he'll get – and because – it sucks for him because the other guy across the field is so elite, he won't have the benefit of – I'm going to say resting. That's not the word I mean. But he won't have – he's going to get picked on all the time, constantly.
Oh, sure.
All the time. They're going to go after him every single play. Joe Flacco's going to do it. Ben Roethlisberger's certainly going to do it, especially because if Gilbert has to cover either Martavis or Antonio Brown, it'll be a long day for him. So, yeah, my bust is Justin Gilbert. I think it's funny to – it's funny because I really wanted him – first round last year, we ended up taking Anthony Barr. If they were going to go defense in that last draft, he was somebody that I wanted. I thought he was going to be really good. Yeah, no, struggling hard. Thought he was going to be it.
This might actually sound weird. I'm going to go with either. There's a couple of them. Andy Dalton, for one. I'm not convinced. And two, Mark Trestman, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens.
Okay.
If Joe Flacco is depleted of weapons on the level of Brandon Marshall, on the level of Alshon Jeffrey, on the level of, you know,
Martellus Bennett,
you know,
September. Matt Forte.
Yeah, if he doesn't have those as he did as a head coach, and we saw what he did as a head coach, what the hell is he going to do with Joe Flacco, who has Owen Daniels,
Steve Smith Senior, Rashad Perryman, Owen Daniels,
and I'm sorry, I don't know how he got that job. Maybe the market for offensive coordinators was slim when Harbaugh was like, yeah, I think it's a good idea to hire this guy. I think that's another factor into why the Ravens are going to take a shit.
Apparently, he is an elite offensive mind. I mean, obviously,
didn't show last year.
Well, not last season, but the season before, he did very, very well in
with Josh
Chicago,
McCown.
With McCown, and Cutler had a decent season. Cutler wasn't great. I'm not going to say that he's elite by any stretch of the imagination, but he got a fairly adequate season out of both of those guys. And then, obviously, last season, train completely fell off the tracks.
Well, they went 8-8, right?
I mean, that whole season. Yeah, it went completely bear-shaped. It was just absolutely awful. But apparently, every time I watched a Bears game, whether it was nationally televised or not, I mean, when they were getting slaughtered by Green Bay on, what was it, Sunday Night Football?
Yeah.
And they just got dismantled. Crazy. I still felt like Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were still like, you know, that Mark Trestman, though, he really is a great offensive mind. He really, I mean, he's supposed to be innovative. So, I don't know, maybe there's something about his interview or something about the way he presents himself and the way he wants to run his offenses that guys believe in. Obviously, Harbaugh is an elite football mind.
Who knows? Maybe with a different quarterback and a different set of receivers, maybe he'll blossom. I don't see it happening. That's my pick for the bus.
No, yeah.
Mine's also Andy Dalton, Steve, and I'll just elaborate on why a little bit. I think this is the year everyone really sees who Andy Dalton really is, which is just a run-of-the-mill, okay in, like, low-pressure situations, but just not the type of guy you really want as the leader of your offense. I mean, all you have to do is look at the numbers. Like, I don't understand how he was a Pro Bowler last year. He only threw 19 touchdowns, but threw 17 interceptions.
Damn!
That was a high amount of interceptions. And, like, in 2013, he threw 33 touchdowns to, like, 19 interceptions. So he just completely fell off the wagon last year. And I don't think this year is going to be any better.
Was he a first ballot Pro Bowler, or did he get in as an alternate?
Maybe he got in as it had to be as
an alternate. It had to be. Because Brady didn't go to the Pro Bowl. Like, he didn't go. Like, he might have gotten elected, but I don't think he went because he played in the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't. You're right.
So I'm just rattling it off. Long story longer, I think you're right.
It seems like there were still other quarterbacks in the AFC you could have picked that were.
I mean, guys don't go to the Pro Bowl anymore.
That's true. I mean, it's not like the Pro Bowl matters. If there's any indication of why the Pro Bowl matters, it's that a quarterback who had a touchdown to interception ratio of almost 1-to-1 can go. Like, that just doesn't make any sense, regardless of if he gets him to the playoffs. And I would argue it wasn't him getting the Bengals team to the playoffs.
Yep.
I can't see him having a good year. I can't even see, even if somehow, like, by some, I wouldn't call it fluke, but, like, by some, like, situation they get into the playoffs, he's just going to lose another playoff game. He's thrown, one touchdown? I think I said zero earlier, but he's thrown one touchdown and 6 interceptions in 4 career playoff games.
Damn.
That's horrible. And that is absolutely disgusting. Like, that is no playoff quarterback that's played in 4 games should have that bad of a stat line.
And what's mind-boggling about it is he's got A.J. Green, who is absolutely a top-5 receiver, and he had Gio Bernard last year.
And Jeremy Hill.
Jeremy Hill was awesome down the stretch for them.
Better than Gio.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying the 1-2 punch of both of them, you would think that a quarterback would have all that he needs to manipulate defenses to get what he wants out of their looks. And he's consistently making the wrong throws and the poor decisions. I think Andy Dalton might be the next Jay Cutler as far as on the field goes. I mean, just all the weapons are there, all the quote-unquote intangibles are there, as in, like, strong arm, tall, big-bodied guy, pocket passer, mm-hmm. your prototypical quarterback with all these weapons and can't get the job done, especially when it matters most.
Yeah. I think this is the year that people are like, wow, Andy Dalton's really not a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think there are still people that will argue that he's a really good quarterback and that he missed A.J. Green a little bit last year, blah, 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 blah. But come on, that stat line, touchdowns to interceptions, said us it all. He can't even clear 20 touchdowns, but he throws 17 interceptions. That's terrible.
Well, look at his performance against the Buccaneers in the preseason. Might just be preseason, but look what second stringers were doing to him, picking him off left, right, and center.
Yeah, so fair point. Fair point.
And Tampa's such a basic defense. Yep. I mean, it's so basic.
Tampa 2 defense is like the defense they teach you in high school. Like, it's bad, man. He should know how to read that defense.
You would think so. I don't know.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Sleepers? Yeah, who's your sleeper?
My sleeper is one Johnny Manziel. I think Johnny Manziel is going to reestablish himself as a potential. I'm not saying Johnny Manziel is going to go off and become this elite quarterback. He has got a long way to go, but I think at some point the reins will be handed back over to Johnny Football. I think he's already proven that his approach to the game is way different. His approach to the work, the way he carries himself around his teammates, I believe he's a humbled individual. He could totally prove me wrong here with an off-season incident. That wouldn't necessarily surprise me. But when you talk to the leaders in that locker room, like Hayden, Joe Thomas on the offensive line, he's a big voice. Even McCown said, he's like, he really, really is in his playbook all the time now. And he's shown flashes of why he was selected first round, why Cleveland traded back in to try to get him in the preseason this last year. I also think it's eventually going to get to a point for Cleveland where they're just not going to have a choice because they don't have any playmakers. They have no one guy that can just completely take over a game. And I'm not saying Johnny Football is that guy, but he can at least put defenses on their heels with his ability to take off and run. Because McCown's not going to be able to back defenses up with Dwayne Bowe, Andrew Hawkins, Brian Hartline, and Isaiah Kroll getting handoffs out of the backfield. It's just not going to happen.
That is just a laughably bad offense.
It's so bad.
It's terrible.
And you're eventually going to get to a point where you need some spark. And I think Manziel will come in, make plays, and then I believe the conversation we will be having at the end of the season is what will the Browns look like next season after this with hopefully Josh Gordon back healthy and clean. Maybe you get some more targets, a running game perhaps out of free agency or the draft. And I think moving forward, Johnny Football will be Cleveland Browns starting quarterback. So he's my sleeper. I think he'll make plays. I think it'll be flashy. I think it'll be splashy.
Steve?
Well, it's kind of weird saying this about a guy who's been around for forever, but I think Steve Smith Sr. is going to be the sleeper because you're not expecting too much out of him at his age, but...
Let me not
speak for anybody here, but like just for me personally, I think he's just – there's so many other players in that division that are way more capable of making a bigger splash than him, but because it's his last season and because he is who he is and because he's got that personality, I think he's going to just go off and make some incredible catches, a lot of great touchdowns.
He's going to be a monster.
I think he's going to be great. Like I said, I was like, you know, maybe I'm not – I don't want to speak for anybody else, but in terms of sleeper, like, man, like, you know, I wasn't expecting too much out of him or I wasn't expecting to be – as impressed by him more so than Antonio Brown or Bell or A.J. Green
whoever.
I think he's the sleeper that's, you know, going to kind of go under the radar in terms of what you can expect from him on his last ride into the sunset.
Yeah, no, so. Yeah, I think that's a good take. You guys both seem to think that he's going to be a beast.
He's going to have to be with Torrey Smith.
And that's the thing is I just I don't know. Like, you're right, Steve. Like, when I'm going through, when you say the AFC North and I'm looking at the playmakers, like, I don't really think about him. And yet I should be. I probably should. With with the swagger. I mean, he's just he steps onto the field even at this age and still thinks he's the baddest dude. Like, he just and then he goes out and he might only we talked about it. Like when we had our like mini episode when we talked about preseason injuries, Tyler, and we talked about, you know, how much Carolina, for the second year in a row, is regretting letting him go,
yep.
especially now that Kelvin Benjamin shot. Like, he may not catch 8 balls for 120 and 2 touchdowns, but he might catch 4 for 60 and a touchdown. And like you said, when we had that conversation, Tyler, that one he catch will be the 30-yarder that ends the game.
Yep.
Because he's clutch like that, and he knows how to step up in big moments. I think that's a great sleeper pick, Steve.
Thank you.
You know me, I do my X factors.
Yawzer.
So, without a doubt, Ravens' X factor is the defense.
Sure.
We've already touched on Flacco is minus Torrey Smith. He's got an aging Steve Smith, which, despite all the good things we just said about him, he's not going to be like a 12, 13 target a game guy, for the simple fact that not only his age will get in the way a little bit, but he's their clear number one right now, unless Breshad Perriman just goes ham early on in the season, which he hasn't even been cleared to play yet.
Yeah.
So he's missed all of training camp and preseason, so who knows when he's going to find his rhythm.
And if he's missed all that time, like you said, rhythm with your quarterback's kind of rough.
Yeah, exactly. Defenses are going to clearly key in on Steve Smith for that exact reason. So he's going to have his great plays and his great games, but you can't expect him to carry your offense night in and night out. And Justin Forsett is a little banged up, I hear, and he hasn't had the greatest preseason, so who knows what happens with him. And your backup, Taliaferro, is going to miss some time. So that offense is a very big question mark, especially after Flacco, even with a better core group last year. I should say a more experienced core group last year, really didn't get it done, especially early on in the season. Like, they came on late and squeaked in the playoffs, and then January Joe showed up, which was great. But, I mean, that's not going to get it done this year. Like, you're not going to make the playoffs if you can't quell another team's offense, because your offense isn't going to be nearly as good as it even was last year. So it's the defense. Like, they've got to continue being that explosive defense like they were last year, or there's no chance, absolutely no chance of them making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, another thing I'd like to say about Steve Smith, too, is that his attitude and his approach to the game, but his confidence in himself and the intimidation factor that he sets into other players that are supposed to be defending him is going to come up big when the Ravens have to go against some very elite teams with elite defenses.
For sure.
They're playing the Seahawks, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Steelers. I mean,
if Steve Smith burns Richard Sherman and houses one,
That'd be amazing.
God.
And I think he's capable of doing
that.
That
would be like, so awesome, because he'd just be jaw-jacking
one of my favorite, in the playoff game against the Patriots, he got some, great, I think it was, a 36-yard, pass from Flacco, and he hit the ground, took the ball and spun it on the ground, and he had his purple mouthpiece in, and he just stared at the Patriots sideline, he looked like he wanted to eat him. It was great! I think that, mentality and the intimidation factor is going to come up big when some other Ravens, I'm not going to speak for anybody. I mean, maybe you're not intimidated by other defense players. Maybe not. I don't know. But his attitude to defenders is going to make a big difference when Justin Forsett or Owen Daniels, whoever else Joe Flacco has to, help him out.
Contagious attitude.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or not. Or maybe he will be the only guy on the offense that's not afraid to go at you. That's why I'm saying, I think Steve Smith is the sleeper, because he's not scared. He doesn't give a shit. He's not scared. It's his last season. I mean, it's his last season. He's going to come at you. He doesn't give a fuck.
What other X factors do you got?
Steelers,
there?
It's Martavis Bryant. And I'm speaking as, he's the X factor that gets things done, or he's the X factor that costs them games. And right off the bat, these first four games, he's that guy that, if they lose games, a lot of it's going to be on him. Because as I said before, defenses are going to be that much more keyed in on Antonio Brown, knowing that their Ben Roethlisberger's second favorite option is not even in danger of being on the field. I think that's just going to make defenses look at Antonio Brown that much more. Obviously, Roethlisberger is still a capable enough quarterback to get him the ball, but I don't think it's going to be I don't think he's going to get the ball as much as he would if Martavis was on the field. And just from the simple fact that you lose your number two guy, who is arguably, like, he's one of the stronger number two guys in the league right now, number two wide receivers in the league right now. I just think without him on the field, you could easily see the Steelers starting 2-2, especially with Le'Veon missing those first two games. I wouldn't go as far as saying they get goose egged in those first four games. Like, they don't start 0-4, but you could even, it's not far fetched to think they lose to the Patriots, the Niners, and the Ravens in three of those first four games. But once he's back on the field, I think he's a major factor in making that Steelers team, that Steelers offense, that much better.
It's going to be great.
I was really trying to look at the Steelers depth chart here because I wanted to see what they had with other wide receivers, but my phone has gone completely bear-shaped.
No.
I'm going to start saying bear-shaped because I think that is now the new way to describe when things go absolutely horribly wrong.
I'm sure Bears fans love that.
I know.
Did you hear about that Bears fan who named his tumor after Aaron Rodgers?
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
A 14-year-old Bears fan named his brain tumor Aaron Rodgers.
That's pretty awesome. What a little badass. Yeah, Martavis Bryant, something named Sammy Coates. I don't know who that guy is. And then running backs. Holy shit, they picked up D'Angelo Williams. Not that he's going to be anything spectacular. Yeah. Yep. They're going to be itching really awfully hard for some help offensively early on. I think that's a good call, Tyler.
Bengals, it's Jeremy Hill.
Yeah.
He needs to continue where he left off, pick up right where he left off at the end of last year. Just such an explosive guy,
awesome.
Insane talent for being how young he is and having to come in when Gio got injured, and he just took it right over like he had been playing in the NFL for years.
When if you think about it, what made Gio pretty good is, you know, Gio is a between the tackles runner. But he can catch balls out of the backfield.
Yep.
I was super impressed with the way Jeremy Hill could do it, too, and how shifty he was.
That's why Gio lost so much time, is because Hill can be that three-down back.
Absolutely.
Just like Gio could.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously with what we just talked about with Andy Dalton, like, he's...
Sucks.
It's going to be a rough year for him on the passing front, so...
It's going to be great.
He's going to have Jeremy Hill
the
step
Red
up.
Rifle.
And then the Browns, God, who the hell knows?
I mean, X factor is
the weather.
You probably got to say, like, their defense can win them some games, but if they're going to make a playoff run, I can't even say that with a straight face, but if they're going to make a playoff run, their X factor's got to be their quarterback. Whether Josh McCown has some kind of a year like he did taking over for Jay Cutler when he was injured with the Bears.
I think that was just a complete fluke.
I do too.
He did, that was, and honestly, Steve, I think that's why Mark Trestman does have a job in Baltimore. I think that run with Chicago,
that's a
stretch
point.
Of games with that kind of quarterback. I mean, you look at his numbers, he hasn't put up anywhere close to anything like that stretch run there. I mean, he was putting up like Drew Brees Madden numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they benched him.
Yeah.
And then lost.
Yeah, McCown's...
Gonna be great.
That was a fluke season. There's no way he duplicates that, especially with the quote-unquote weapons that he has. And if Johnny Football does see some time, which he most likely will, I would stake some money on that, he's still not going to have anyone to work with. It's still the same core group of guys. So if they were to have any chance of making the playoffs, they would have to get some kind of miraculous run out of their quarterback, similar to a Josh McCown on the Bears type situation.
It's going to need to be nuts. I got such a good defense, though. That sucks.
Yeah, but...
Oh, no, I'm just saying that sucks. Like, I've been a fan of...
Sucks for that defense.
I know!
They work that hard and are that talented.
And I, geez, like, to the Tavares Jackson and Christian Ponder years, man, like, I've been there where you're lining up just a badass defense, and they're on the field 80% of the game because the offense keeps turning it over and they can't move it. It just sucks.
All right, well, that'll do it for AFC North.
Yes.
Let's move right along to... This might be your least favorite division, right, Drew?
Yup!
AFC North?
I hate this!
You hate this, right?
No,
hate
I'm
this division, right?
Super excited to talk about this. Homer button time!
Go for it, man.
All
go
right.
For it.
So, I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way to the top. Chicago Bears, dumpster fire. They will be in last place. They will only win three games.
It's going
to
be great.
They're going to have an awfully high draft pick to look forward to.
If you guys didn't know, we replaced Steve temporarily with a robot in all these senses. It's going to be great.
So, yeah. Bears, dumpster fire, bottom of the division. It took me a little while to make this decision, but in third, I've got the Detroit Lions. I was tempted for a minute to slot in my favorite club, who I've got in second place, the Minnesota Vikings. And then, unfortunately, the Green Bay Packers have something called Aaron Rodgers, which, I mean, he really is that good. He trumps all. Like, they lost Jordy. That is a blow. I'm not going to try and sit here and act like it's not a blow. But the year they won the Super Bowl, didn't they have like 11 dudes, 8 dudes, starters hit the DL and were out for the season, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, when you have Aaron Rodgers, you always have a chance to win. So as much as I really, really, really wanted to slot Minnesota into that number one spot after Jordy going down, I still think Green Bay takes the division. I now think, though, and this could just be where I'm at this point with the season coming up, and I'm just super excited, and I start seeing things through purple and gold sunglasses. I'm a little bit more optimistic. I think the Vikings will push to contend. I've seen a lot of things that I like out of my favorite club. I don't necessarily dislike Detroit. I think Detroit will be competitive. I just think their defense took such a hit losing to Ndamukong Suh. And I'm not trying to make a Haloti Ngata. He is good.
He's not
the explosiveness, the way Suh is and how disruptive he is, not only in the run game, but sacking quarterbacks and blowing up the pass game as well. It's going to take a hit. I do think Matt Stafford, who's looked exceptionally sharp in this preseason, will take a step forward from last year and will be back on track to the quarterback that Detroit thought he was coming out of his draft when he was drafted out of Georgia. I think Calvin Johnson, Megatron, will have a resurgence as well. And that slick little running back that they got, the rookie kid, Abdullah, has looked awesome.
Amir Abdullah,
looks really good. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit scared of him.
It's funny because they're still talking like Joik Bell is their bell cow. No pun intended.
Yeah.
I think you slot Abdullah in there right away and give the kid a shot, because I was never that impressed with Joik Bell.
I don't know enough about Abdullah to make a strong opinion to agree with you. The only thing that I would say is I think eventually by week 4 or 5, I think what it could be, and maybe not on this level, but I think what it could be is in an Adrian Peterson, Chester Taylor situation. When Adrian Peterson was a rookie, Chester Taylor was their bell cow, their number one back.
Yeah.
He did a lot of things well. He caught the ball out of the backfield. I think Bell is still that guy. But eventually, Abdullah is just going to – from the way it looks in preseason, I don't know anything about – I didn't know anything about him until I started watching him in this preseason. But from what I've seen from him and his ability to make plays, he's just eventually going to make so many plays, big plays, that they're going to be like, sorry, Joik, you're going to be the short down back on like third or like fourth and goal situations, but
yep,
we're going to be giving the ball to this kid. Because he looks slick, and he looks really, really good in that offense.
He looks confident.
Because he can catch the ball out of the backfield,
yep,
and he is making linebackers look stupid. So I don't think – it's not that I'm putting Detroit third, because I think they're going to be like on Chicago level. I don't think that, and I think they're going to be battling awfully hard with my Minnesota Vikings. But I think at the end of the day, it's just Aaron Rodgers' division, and we're all just playing in it. So that's where I think things are going to lay out.
Good stuff. Steve.
Yeah, I still think that Green Bay obviously takes the division. I think Jordy is a huge loss. I heard a couple people saying that the fact that Jordy's not going to be playing is really going to open up our eyes to just how good Aaron Rodgers is.
See, but I think we already knew that.
Yeah,
Away Jordy Nelson's like, okay, your number one favorite target's gone. Now you got Randall Cobb, who he passes to a lot, and now you got Adams, right? Adams is filling
Devontae Adams.
The void that was left behind by Nelson.
I guess the thing about Jordy is he is an elite wide receiver, but if you really look at his game-by-game basis, and I'm saying this as someone who had him in two fantasy leagues last year, so like I know this really well. It's like, I mean, there would be games where he'd only get targeted three or four times. Yeah, he'd make one gigantic home run catch, which is fantastic, but a lot of times it ended up being in situations where they were already up. Like, yep. I want to say it was like against the Bears where he had one, like, busted out like a 70 plus yard touchdown catch.
Probably was.
Which was fantastic. Like, it shows how great he is, but guys key in on him a lot. So he doesn't get nearly as many targets as I feel like people think he does. Randall Cobb gets a lot of targets.
And the thing that Cobb can do that Jordy can't is Cobb can play the outside, but they can line him up in the slot, and that is a mismatch from hell. It sucks. And, yeah, Cobb, oh, man, he had Cat and Munnerlyn just absolutely bass-ackwards in games last season.
So I think we're being a little unfair to – or not we personally, but, like, we – like, the media is being a little unfair to just how good Aaron Rodgers is, because we already know how good Aaron Rodgers is.
I mean,
it's just the fact that he doesn't have his home run hitter per se, but he's still got guys who can bat doubles and triples all
absolutely
day.
I completely agree. And I just think when you can put the ball wherever you want, the only thing left to do is to make sure those guys are there, and I think that he'll do. I mean, look what happened to Greg Jennings after he left Green Bay.
Yep.
Granted, he had Christian Ponder throwing him the ball, but that's just, I mean, like, that's all a part of it. That's how good Aaron Rodgers is. I mean.
And let's not forget about Eddie Lacy. He's still got Eddie Lacy, who, yeah, admittedly, he had a slow start through his first four or five games.
He also played the best defenses in the league.
But, man, did he turn it on in that last 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Like, he is still their bell cow for very good reason. He is still a fantastic running back who will probably get a little bit more work with Jordy out, but I mean, as soon as you establish that run, Aaron Rodgers can just go to work, and you're not going to be able. I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to stop him.
Nope.
What did he throw? Two interceptions last year? Three maybe?
And how long did it take him to? Well, he threw one in the very first game of the season, right against Seattle.
Yes.
But dude, how long did it take him to throw another one?
I don't. I can't remember.
Like
something
a stretch
like
of like
it
six,
was
seven
a huge,
games.
It was a huge.
He's
stretch.
Unreal.
He's ridiculous. So sucks. I think people. I think this Jordy injury is actually showing like it's making people.
Is he get?
Aaron Rodgers a little bit unfairly.
I think it's a lot of overreacting. He's a good receiver, really good receiver. I love Jordy.
Me too.
It's a shame that
he got
lost in the preseason, but I personally
Aaron Rodgers can make whoever replaces Jordy.
He's at the point now in his career.
Good.
He's at the point now in his career that I think personally where Peyton Manning was when he finally like hit his stride in Indianapolis.
Yep.
This is my offense. I am the offensive coordinator on the field. I know this like the back of my hand. Yeah, I think you're going to be fine. So
yep.
Steve.
He's the second best quarterback in the league, for sure. Now, here's where it gets interesting with your Vikings and your Lions. I think you guys are going to be neck and neck.
I think you're right.
And I am not going to pick one over the other.
Okay.
Interesting.
I don't know. And I don't even know.
Gun to your head.
Oh, you took the words
gun
out
to my
of
head?
Your mouth. Gotta make
I'd say the Lions.
Yeah.
Just because Matt Stafford's more experienced than Teddy, that's all. But I do, this is again, if the gun were still in my head, but I'd be like, well, but then again, now you got Adrian Peterson back and take a sophomore quarterback who had a very impressive freshman year. He's wiser, smarter, and you take a guy who's been around the block a lot who can alleviate the load that Teddy would otherwise, you know, have to bear if he wasn't there like he did last year. I don't know.
Who do you have in last place?
Da
Bears! It's the team with the logo that looks like a toilet lid, which is pretty appropriate.
Bear-shaped.
Yeah, bear-shaped for sure.
Bear-shaped. Hashtag bear-shaped.
But when it comes to the Vikings or the Lions, I couldn't say because there's, like you said, losing Ndamukong Suh is huge, but they did get Haloti Ngata back. And I think I made the analogy, it was like, that's like having a quarter. It's like, Ndamukong Suh's the quarter, and you lost the quarter, but you got a nickel. So it's not like, you know, it's better than having a complete void, you have someone to fill that void, but they're not filling it entirely. It's still better than nothing. Still got Megatron. Still got Golden Tate. Still got
Who was really underrated last year. Yeah. Golden Tate is a damn good receiver.
Especially those games where Megatron was out or a quote-unquote decoy. Golden Tate was
fantastic. Oh, hell yeah. I completely agree.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'd say both of you guys are going to go positive, though. I think the Lions probably go 9-7. I think you guys go 9-7 or a little higher, maybe 10-6. I don't know.
All right.
I really don't know.
Yeah, I'm with Drew on this one. Packers take it, obviously. Rodgers is still Rodgers. There's not even a point in debating that. I think this is the year, like, in now with Teddy in his first full year, he's got a real elite running back. Sorry to Jet McKinnon, but he's just not there yet.
No, yeah.
And that's partly an experience and partly because he's just not the running back.
Yeah.
He'll never be the running back that Adrian Peterson is even at age 30.
Yep.
That's another thing. You get Adrian Peterson who, yeah, he's 30, but let's not forget he's missed two basically full years. He's essentially a 28-year-old. He's essentially a 30-year-old running back with 28-year-old legs and that's absolutely huge for that Minnesota offense now that they've got a guy who can really establish the run confidently. You know that you're going to get positive yards the majority of the time with him as long as your offensive line isn't a revolving door. And I just think Teddy is just going to be able to do wonders with those wide receivers, which you already saw how well he connected with them late last year and in this preseason. Like, he's clearly become the leader of that team.
Oh, no, for sure.
Absolutely. Both on the field and off the field.
Yep. And no question.
I just think that offense is damn near a complete offense now with Adrian Peterson back and with a guy like Teddy, more experienced under center.
Only question mark right now is the offensive line. It's the only thing offensively, the only thing I'm worried about.
And that's the only reason to be a tiny bit weary about the run game and about Teddy staying protected. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be a much better year than even last year was. And I don't know about you, but I would consider your last year, the Vikings, as a success.
Yeah, I mean, given the circumstances, yes.
Yeah, given the circumstances,
yes, it was.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, given the circumstances.
It was kind of like the Miami Dolphins last year with you guys. You guys played a hell of a lot better than your record suggested.
Yep.
And there's those assholes who are like, well, your record says what you guys were.
Yeah.
And I completely disagree. You might have let a couple games get away, you know, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But the way you played, barring one shitty outcome, one shitty ref call or one shitty, you know, turnover or whatever.
That fucking 4th-and-20 at Buffalo. God, that sucked. Should have won that game, too.
Well, anyway, I mean, like, you guys.
And that was the thing. I think my brother said it best. I was talking with him about it. My brother Jake was just like, you know, it sucks, but we're learning how to win games without our best player. And that kind.
Huge. That's huge.
That kind of adversity is important for the confidence that it brings when you are able to win games. The main thing now, close out games. Games that you're winning, put the foot on the throat, end it.
Yep.
Don't let teams stick around and linger. I like the clutch performances. I love Too Much Time for Teddy driving down the field. That's copyright. My favorite radio personality, by the way, Paul Allen on KFan Radio. But yeah, I love Too Much Time for Teddy. Teddy Two Gloves going down the field with 2 minutes to go and winning games. But I would just like to win them with 7 to go and watch Sean Hill work in mop-up duty. So, but yeah. Lots to be excited about offensively.
Right behind them, I'd put the Lions. Simply, I think a lot of it has to do... I think Megatron has a little bit of a downslide this year.
Yeah.
And I think it's due to the fact that, just like last year, that he can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
Is he 30?
He's got to be getting up there. He's got to be getting close.
Who's their running back?
Joy Bell, and then right behind him is Amir Abdullah.
That's who we're talking about. And then this Abdullah kid looks. Abdullah kid looks great. He looks pretty slick. I mean, it's only preseason, but
yeah,
he could be really dangerous.
And as good as Golden Tate was last year, you did really see, like, Stafford struggled in the times where he really couldn't get Megatron the ball, because at the end of the day, Stafford's a good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. And he's had the luxury of having Megatron, where 6'5 Megatron, where he can literally just throw the ball up anywhere, and Megatron will more than likely make the catch.
That guy's a beast.
If Megatron can't stay on the field, I think it's another, like, there's gonna be times just like last year where the offense really struggles to get going, a lot due in part to Matt Stafford not being able to get the ball in the hands of his receivers. I'm not convinced that Joique Bell should be your bell cow, and I don't think it stays that way.
I don't think it does. Not if this kid keeps doing what he's doing.
Yeah, Amir Abdullah looks great, but again, preseason small, very, very small sample size, so you never know what happens when he gets up against those elite defenses. I just don't think Megatron stays on the field, and I think it costs them a couple of games, and I think that's what puts the Vikings over the top. And then,
Bear-shaped.
The Bears. Bear-shaped.
Bear-shaped. Also copyright key fan, but I love it. Bear-shaped.
All right, who's your bust?
My bust is the Lions defense. Just kind of, I was about to say Jay Cutler, but Jay Cutler's already a bust. Like, I could beat a dead horse, but fucker's dead.
Kevin
like,
White.
Well, I mean, and that's
a bust.
Well, I was gonna say that's just not fair. It's really not fair because I was honestly super scared of that guy, and I'm even more scared now because the Bears taking Kevin White solidified that the Vikes had to take Trey Waynes. Trey Waynes, like I said, huge leap from college defensive back to professional defensive back. That being said, Trey Waynes has been riding the struggle bus hard this offseason. So I picked the Lions defense. Like I said, Ndamukong Suh is a big loss. It's a big loss. And from what I've been hearing out of Miami Dolphins training camp and just in general from around the league, he's like become the undisputed leader of the Dolphins defense. And you could say anything you want. I don't know if he was that guy necessarily when he was in Detroit. He got in trouble a lot, that sort of thing, off the field stuff, on the field stuff, whatever. But at the end of the day, he's disruptive, he's explosive, and he's just a nightmare for offensive lines to account for. And yeah, I just think it's going to trickle down. I do like Glover Quinn at safety, but outside of that, I'm not super impressed with anybody else I see, and I think they're going to take a real step back. I think it's going to be a lot easier to run the ball on them.
I think you're going to have to go because I'm still thinking about it.
Okay. Mine's probably going to be one that no one thought about, but I think Matt Forte is a bust this year.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I guess I could see that.
I don't know that. I think this might be the year where he finally doesn't stay on the field. Six of his seven seasons, he's played at least 15 games. He had the one season where he missed four games, but I mean,
do you think it's finally taking its toll?
I think it's finally going to take its toll. He's 30 now. He barely hit 1,000 yards last year. That was after a year in 2013 where he had over 1,300, damn near 1,400. He only had six rush TDs last year. And with an offense that's going to be down a lot, that just means a lot less carries for Matt Forte because they're going to have to throw
their way back into games.
Yeah.
Yep.
And throw their way back into probably more games than not this season because they're just not a good football team at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is your quarterback, but a lot of that is a lot of other guys too. And now you don't have your rookie wide receiver who you drafted in the first round, who admittedly probably wasn't going to get a ton of playing time this year because John Fox doesn't play, doesn't like rookies.
Oh, I guess I never really thought of it like
that.
Yeah,
apparently that's a thing. Like,
he's
proponent of playing guys that much in their rookie year.
Okay.
So everybody was saying that Kevin White will miss a little bit of playing time by being out all year, but he's not going to miss as much as people.
He's not replacing
Brandon Marshall immediately.
Gotcha. So the immediate impact that I thought that he was going to make, it doesn't sound like that was ever.
Yeah,
really
everything
necessarily out of
everything in the Bears camp is saying that now he's not really like he wasn't really the immediate number two to Alshon Jeffrey.
Damn, I would have played that kid like crazy.
Well,
big,
just,
tall, fast. Yeah, man.
That's his.
But yeah, no, that's
old school coach's
mentality.
I was gonna
say that's
guess,
John Fox,
but,
man. I got nothing to say. That guy's a very elite.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think Matt Forte is a very talented dude. I just think the writing's on the wall that this is the downswing of his career, unfortunately, because that's kind of the way it works with running backs, with very rare exceptions, especially in this day and age, where it's more passing offenses anyway.
Yeah.
Especially when you're down by 15, 20, 21 points a game. Every game. So, yeah, I just think Forte's kind of a bust this year.
I guess I'll give it to the Bears defense.
See, I don't even know how you... I wasn't really sure. Like, I wasn't expecting a lot out of... They're just so young.
But I know so many people that do expect it. and I know that, you know, Vic Fangio, as he's commonly referred to, you know, there's a lot of hopes for this guy. And what he can bring, you know, pear shape. I don't know, man. It's just,
they're just so young. I think that.
Not to say they can't be effective. It's just that, you know, it's like trying to organize a bunch of baby scorpions. It's just like they don't know how hard to hit.
I love your metaphors on this show.
No, but
it's so great.
Seriously,
who is trying to organize a bunch of baby scorpions?
But
is
I love
what I want to know.
It's so great.
Old Vic. You know, he's got a lot of young. See, that's the thing with like younger, you know, rookies. It's like, oh man, I don't know how hard to hit. I don't know. You know, oh shit, was I supposed to be guarding that guy? Oh fuck, I thought you were doing that. Oh shit. Fuck. So, you know, let's just say that, like, you know.
How do you think guys in the NFL talk?
It depends on how hard you get hit. Like, how many hits your brain gets. Well, I thought you were supposed to be guarding that. I thought you were supposed to be guarding over there. But anyway, no, but I think the Bears did. But if you guys want me to pick someone else.
No, I will. No, that's totally fair.
Jimmy Kloss. No, I.
Well, he's concussed, so he's not going to be starting.
Oh, man. Yeah, just everything's going great over in Chi-Town.
That whole team's just garbage.
I mean, I feel like.
Fire.
Yeah, I got you.
You guys ever see the Wild Bunch where these kids, they had like a scorpion and they put it in the pile of red ants? And the red ants just like
devoured it.
Fucking just, they just killed it. I mean, that's how I feel like making fun of Chicago. I feel like, you know, every time we talk about Chicago, it's like, here's the Bears, and we dropped it into a pit of like, you know, what could kill a bear? Put it in a pool of great whites. and the great whites just went to every time we talk about the Bears, it's like, there's nothing positive that comes out of our mouth. So I do feel guilty because it's too easy.
No.
So.
That's just the way it goes, though. Sometimes.
No,
like,
I mean, but that's
all
it.
Our
but
teams
you
have been there.
But you made a good point. I guess here's my thing. I don't think I think the Bears are going to be lucky to win three games this season. That being said,
it's going
to
be great.
I still think that. Still think that the arrow is pointing up, and I believe that because you've got two very elite defensive minds running the team. In defensive coordinator Fangio and John Fox.
I think it's Fangio.
So you're right. Like, I mean, I guess in saying that, in looking what both of those guys have done in the past with young defenses and the types of success that they have, yeah, I guess I could see where you would consider them a bust.
Yeah, totally. You know, when you look at Fangio,
I'm just gonna
start taking shots right now. Okay, let's observe John Fox and what he's accomplished. Two Super Bowl appearances and he took a shit. Now the first time, it was a close one.
Tom Brady immortality.
Tom Brady immortality, Jake DeLome stupidity. I mean, that's basically what it came down to, even though he had some gangster passes in there that got him back in the game. But
Jake DeLome and gangster should never be said. that
comeback was pretty gangster. It's just the loss was...
No, it was rough.
Stupid.
It's a good Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, The second one, you have the greatest offense of all time, and you only put up 8 points. We talked about this. That is fucking pathetic. It's the worst. That's like the 2004 Lakers fucking stacked like a Marlboro pack, and you got the Detroit Pistons are like, oh, I'm sorry, we play as teams. You know, we play as a team. We don't play as, you know, fucking... What I'm trying to say is, I'm not convinced on John Fox. I'm not.
Okay.
Way to go. I'm not
impressed. I'm not impressed at all, dude. Good for you. You led a team that had their...
Shots fired! Get your bathtubs!
I'm not done yet either. You got fucking, you know, old Vic over here. You have Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith, Justin Smith, Chris Culliver. You got all these great defensive players in Super Bowl 47. And you allow the Baltimore Ravens to take a 28-6 lead at the start of the third? Idiot! It was all... I can't believe I'm saying this. But thank God Greg Roman got his shit together because he was like, okay, guys, we need to start doing something. So it was because of Greg Roman and Harbaugh and Cap's legs that they finally got back into the game. You had all that talent and you gave up 28 fucking points? Idiot! Like seriously, arguably the best defense in the NFL for 2 years, and you allowed that to happen? Fucking moron! No, I'm sorry. If Fangio doesn't have that kind of talent in Chicago, which he doesn't, yeah, we're gonna see how elite this defensive mind is when you've got like who's on their defense? I don't even know who's on their fucking defense.
Well, that kid Allen.
Oh, that kid. Yeah, that guy who hasn't accomplished shit. Yeah, that guy. You know, let's talk about guys who've actually done shit in their lives, got interceptions, got stops. Let's talk about it.
Wait,
who's on that defense? I don't fucking know.
Wait, Lance Briggs is still there, right? Isn't he?
Yeah! that's my point. It's like, that defense is going to be great. Can't wait.
Well, through all that psychotic rambling, you actually did make a really good point.
That was awesome.
No, John Fox doing you do great. Yeah, he had the greatest offense in history. Now he's got the greatest dumpster fire quarterback in the NFL leading the charge. Yeah, good luck. We're going to turn this boat around and drive it straight in. Off. Fuck. God damn. God, the Bears.
I just think that, again, they're going to struggle. I do believe that defense is going to make plays. They're young. There is talent on that side of the ball. I think the whole point of old Vic, as you call him, I think the whole point of him bouncing from the situation in San Fran was, A, he lost his head coach. And saw a good opportunity to go build something in Chicago. I think we will start to see pieces of that this season. It's not going to result in a 500 record, anywhere close to that. It's not going to be anything spectacular. I just think the arrow's pointing up, but I love the passion, I love the fire, and you make many, many good points.
Whenever you refer to him as old Vic, I just picture a 70-year-old Michael Vick on the sideline, like with a walker.
I just picture a fucking idiot in a skybox with some of the greatest defensive players of all time going, what do I do? Bowman plays safety,
please,
right?
Like that's please awesome. Move on to your sleeper.
This is so great. Oh, I like it. I like it.
Oh, my sleeper?
I got mine.
As of right now, I'll probably give it to... I don't even know if you can consider it a sleeper, but Adams. Devontae Adams. I mean,
it's fair.
You know, everybody's going
about picking him.
Everybody's going to be looking at Rodgers and Lacy and Cobb, sure. But I think he's going to step up and make some big touchdown plays that'll win them some games.
Packer camp likes him.
I mean, is it even fair saying he's a sleeper considering he's on the Green Bay Packers and he's got Aaron Rodgers throwing to him? I mean,
no, but it's fair. I mean, he's unproven. Totally there's. I mean, I don't absolutely. Know. He doesn't really have much expectations. So yeah, that's absolutely. The whole point of a sleeper. I think that's a good pick. It was going to be my pick until I decided to hit the homer button.
Of course.
And I'm going Norv Turner on the bit, and I'm picking Charles Johnson. It was close. I really wanted to pick rookie Stephon Diggs out of Maryland. That kid has looked awesome in training camp. He is already very much on his way to, not that Cordarrelle Patterson had much of a shot keeping his job as a wide receiver. But Stephon Diggs has all the explosiveness that you like and all the quickness that you like out of a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson. The one difference is he's humble and he knows how to run routes and he has a desire to learn the game, and he and Teddy are already building rapport. That being said, there's a guy in the offense that already has a good rapport with Teddy that does really well in Norv Turner's offense, and I think that's Charles Johnson, formerly I think, 7th round pick by the Packers, and then cut, and then subsequently cut again by the Cleveland Browns when he was having ACL problems. And, yeah, I believe Charles Johnson put it on the board. I believe he will be a fantasy sleeper as well. I think you're going to want him to slot in, maybe not every single week, but I think he's a guy, if you're in a flex league or in a PPR, think about taking him late.
Good stuff. See?
Are we still on sleepers? I just gave my
sleeper. Oh, God, yeah, sorry.
You just shocked him with your shots fired. You went all Tech 9 on the bit. It was awesome.
This might be the easiest. Hey, I'm just going to rattle these X-Factors off. Rodgers, AP, Megatron, who the fuck cares?
Accurate. Apt analysis. I like that you said the AP, though. I like that you said that.
I went back and that's the one I kind of went back and forth with, because I do really think, like, Teddy is important to that offense.
Oh, for sure.
But I just think, like, everything that I said about AP earlier, I just really think that he's the guy that puts them over the edge for, like, being a better team than the Detroit Lions. Like, I just... as long as he can stay, knock on wood, on the field, like, he's just going to be huge, huge for that offense that, you know, didn't have a great running game outside of the goal line.
I think the thing that was, as far as, in like you said, we've been saying it all throughout the offseason, all throughout preseason, small sample size, doesn't mean anything. One thing that I saw last Saturday when the Vikes went to Dallas was Teddy had it. They had a generic run play called. He got to the line, gave a hard count. Dallas tipped their hand, showed a blitz. 8-man front came up. Teddy checked into a deep ball to Mike Wallace, nailed him for a 40-yarder down the sideline. The thing that was most encouraging about it, if AP is the 2012 MVP beast that we've seen throughout his career, Teddy's going to be looking at a lot of 8-man fronts. And we have seen, albeit for one bleak, shining, bright season, what it looks like when you have a competent, accurate, smart quarterback dealing with 8-man fronts and single coverage on the outside. I mean, it can be really, really special. And Teddy's, like I said, Teddy's going to see a lot of 8-man fronts if 2-8 is exactly who he's been. So,
and I was joking about the Bears thing. Let me give what I actually think my X-Factor is. It's Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, you lost Brandon Marshall.
Really good.
You've lost Kevin White before he even got started. Like I said before, they're going to be down. They're going to be throwing a lot to get back into the games. And your number one receiver has got to be on point, or you're just not going to be able to do anything. Martellus Bennett is great, but he disappears once October hits. And it's just in just the weirdest, like... it's just the weirdest way that every single year he disappears, like, once October hits. It's so, like, I can't think of another player that's like that, like, another offensive player that's really like that. But at the end of the day, it's got to be Jeffrey. That, like, say what you will about Jay Cutler, he's not a great quarterback, but he still has a decent rapport with Alshon Jeffrey. It was clear that was his target over Brandon Marshall a lot of times last year, especially after Marshall expressed his displeasure. Yeah, is a better word. His displeasure with the way Jay Cutler was throwing the ball. So, yeah, that connection has got to be there, or, you know, they're going to be, like you said, lucky to get 3 wins. Any final words, Close Mr. Cravens?
Yes.
No, just I think the only X factor that is, I mean, obviously you got Rodgers, all this stuff, but I think Teddy.
Yeah.
But, like, Teddy, I think, is going to be the deal breaker. Like, he's either going to make it or he's going to ruin some games. I think he's mature enough, and he's come a long way since when did he officially start for the Vikes game?
The first game that he started was week 4, I believe, because I believe week 3, we were in New Orleans, and that's when Castle shattered his foot. Because we won our first game in St. Louis, just up and whooped that ass. And then we had to take on New England, and then we had the whole Adrian Peterson fallout, got smashed at home. Then we rolled into New Orleans, and Castle shattered his foot. And then, Cap Maslow's season was over, and then in comes Teddy week four, and I believe that was against Carolina, because he played a great game at home against Carolina, but he also hurt his ankle, and then we had to go on a short week and go play Green Bay, I thought. And then that's when Christian Ponder basically he put his career in the coffin.
Well, yeah, I think Teddy's going to make the difference whether or not you guys make it into the playoffs or not.
Hope so.
And his receivers, not just all on him.
No, but that's the thing is, like, the big talker out of Vikings camp, and I know we're probably running long here, so I'll be quick, but one of the big talkers was, is Cordarrelle Patterson even going to make the team? Now we don't have to worry about it. We know he will, because you're not going to cut a guy with that kind of explosive ability on the kick return game, and B, he's a former first-round pick, and you can't really move him or anything like that. You don't want to be the guy that gave up a first-round pick and then went and slaughtered in another place. So, the talker was for a while is there's just a lot of depth with this wide receiving core. You've got Mike Wallace. You've got Charles Johnson. They'll be on the outside. Jarius Wright will run the slot. But then you've got Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and Cordarrelle Patterson. So, yeah, Teddy seems to have a really good understanding now of what both Scott Turner, the quarterback's coach, and Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator, want him to do. Mm-hmm. And they have full confidence in him, as displayed late last season and in this preseason, that if he doesn't like something, he'll change it at the line of scrimmage. And they have confidence that he can make the right call and read defenses now. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. And I've never been more happy to have been wrong about a prospect ever in my football watching life. So nice. So nice.
And it's fun for me because I get to bring it up whenever I want.
Yeah, man.
Although that horse has been beaten to death.
Yeah, man. You're just... it has. Yeah, it's getting... Hoofda, that horse is dead. Like, it is dead. I've admitted it. I've acknowledged it on this show.
You act like I bring it up every day. I haven't brought it up in weeks.
You bring it up every time we talk football. Pretty much every time we talk football.
Yeah, but we had to witness your temper tantrum after...
It wasn't a temper tantrum. I was just not happy. Like, he was turning the ball over in the red zone.
No, I meant after Johnny Football. Oh. You missed Johnny Football.
Oh, it was a meltdown.
I wouldn't call it a tantrum. It was a
meltdown.
That's
not fair. I wanted the guy. I freaked out because I wanted him, but I wasn't like cussing at the TV. All
right, fine. I'll retire the Bridgewater thing. Officially on mic right now, it's retired.
Thank you.
I was still right, though.
Until you start complaining again. And then it comes back.
He's
not going to have to complain. I won't. Teddy's going to be...
Unless Teddy sinks.
I have learned my lesson. I will keep all of those thoughts to myself until a guy has solidified himself as a bust. I won't say anything at all ever about a rookie prospect ever again.
For me, it's reversed. I'll never say anything about an aged athlete ever again. Because you never know what they're going to do.
I got you, man.
Yarmir Yager, thank you.
Oh yeah, I was like, "What are you? What are we getting at?"
Yarmir Yager.
That was a great pickup.
Yeah, I'm excited. I am.
It's gonna be great.
I'm very excited. I mean, we can save it for next time. I know you guys want to talk strictly football, but if you want to sneak in some hockey,
I mean, we're running stupid.
No, not tonight, but another show. Like, if you guys want to keep talking football, but if you want to bring up like a little bit of hockey,
what do we have on tap next week?
It depends on what you guys want to do. We still have to do AFC, NFC South, AFC, NFC East.
Jesus, we're not.
Because we did the West, and now we've done the North, and we just need to do the South and the East of both conferences.
Have to do two shows next week.
If you want to, that's fine with me. I can talk about football all day. All
right, we're probably going to do two shows next week then. Cool. Well, that was fun.
I had a great time.
It's going to be very fun to watch. I'm more excited to watch that than pretty much any division.
AFC East.
AFC East is going to be fun, too.
It's going to be great.
AFC East.
Damn it.
AFC East is going to be a fun one to watch, but you have money in that, so.
I do have money in that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
I do.
But I get that. That is going to be a fun division to watch as well.
Yeah.
All right, for Steve Gravens.
Thanks for listening.
For Drew Willers. Jesus Christ.
Tammy!
There it is. I was waiting for that. I thought you were waiting until the season started.
Oh, did I say wait for the season? I thought I meant wait. I wanted to wait for this episode when we actually were taught. Well, I wanted to wait.
You did say.
I wanted us to wait. So I might have said that. I meant until we actually got into talking about it. Because, yeah.
Well, there's the first Teddy of the year, folks.
Teddy!
And 6 more weeks of winter, right? That's what that means.
I hope so.
I'm Tyler Berry. See you next week for 2 shows. Jesus. Bye.